Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with special guest today is Bengals rookie cornerback Josh Newton. And we are super excited to have you on. So first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah. Also, I want to thank you for having me.
I've wanted to have you on the podcast for a while now because your draft weekend was pretty epic. You were definitely a media fan favorite that weekend. But then, you know, you were so busy getting acclimated to the NFL life and then training camp. I felt like I tweeted an observation from you from practice like every day.
Yeah.
And then the season started, so it's been a while. So I wanted to just catch up with you and see how the season's been going and let people know a little bit more about your journey to the NFL.
Oh, well, my journey to the NFL was, it was cool. A lot of work put in, back of the line type of guy. So I had one offer coming out of high school, and I was at another position. So after my freshman year of college, I made a switch to defensive back and didn't look back.
So, okay, wait. So you said that you only had one offer coming out of high school?
Mm-hmm.
Was that at receiver?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I saw that you played receiver too.
Mm-hmm.
Was that offer to Louisiana Monroe?
Right, correct.
Where you're from?
Correct, correct.
What made you decide to switch from receiver to corner?
I always tell people 20 receivers or 4 corners. And I had the ability, I had the speed. So I was like, why not? And
who influenced you in that decision?
Me. Hmm. I'll never forget the day that my coach gave me the green light. One of my head coaches, he was undergoing surgery at the time. Mm-hmm. His name is Coach Matt Vierter. I think he's still at UL doing some analyst type things down there. So long story short, he was going through like his surgery and it was just on my mind. I just texted him anyway. I was just like, if he don't hit back, I know why he won't hit back, because he trying to get back right. So he obviously gave me the green light. I wasn't expecting him to. And he told me once we get back rolling for summer workouts, he'll let me try. So since that day, was it May 2019? I haven't looked back since. So going on four or five years in counting, so.
Well, before we get into more, because I have plenty of questions about your college journey, I want to go back to before college. So where exactly in Louisiana are you from?
Monroe, Louisiana.
How far away is that from where Jamar Chase is from?
Depends on how you drive, 3.5-4 hours.
Oh, so you guys are on completely different parts of Louisiana.
Yeah, he at the bottom, I'm at the top.
Okay.
Monroe, New Orleans.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
What did you like most about growing up in Monroe, Louisiana?
Oh, it was tough. You learn to work. You learn to compete. I grew up playing outside, so this generation is a little bit different now. Everything on the iPad and, you know, I put it like this. A lot of more things are in kids' face now because it's one click and you can learn DB off YouTube now. So, you know, just we don't get the biggest light as far as like the biggest light of high school football is not shining on Louisiana. So it's more you got to get it out of the mud type. So that's what helped me get here.
How many siblings do you have?
On my mom's side, one, I have an older brother. Then on my biological father's side, I'm the oldest.
Awesome.
And then I have 4 younger siblings. Yeah.
So when you say you were playing outside, you were busy.
Nah, I just met like my other side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What, like, when you think back about your childhood growing up, and you said work, like you learned to work and your hobbies were going to play outside, how do you feel like that defined the type of football player that you are?
I feel like it correlates a lot because if you just look at the game of football, it's just really, you just let your hair down and play. Like, play with your hair on fire, you get to be yourself, you get to be free. So back then, well, stuff, you know, things didn't go our way or we'll, you know, we just use football or any other ball we play, basketball, kickball, racquetball, it didn't matter. We just was just playing outside, so.
I was the same. Yeah. Like, I remember my favorite things to do growing up was, like, catching the lightning bugs that would, like, come out in the summer and going out and playing, like, manhunt with my neighbors. Yeah. Like, those are core memories
for
me.
That you won't forget. You won't ever forget them.
And I think about how much that shaped me and how much pure just joy you felt. You didn't need a screen or anything to make you feel happy, and it was just like pure bliss for a kid. It's sad that because the society has changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, parents can do all they want to, you know, take away screen time and all that, but I still don't think it would be like that, which is kind of a bummer because those are, like, I still to this day remember some of those memories. So I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Question about Louisiana food, though. So
great.
Jamar Chase came up on this podium last week, and I asked him about his diet because I read something about Derrick Henry having this, like, crazy diet where he only eats from, like, 2 to 8, and it's, like, this list of things he eats, and, like,
He's a big fella. So
yeah.
He has to watch what he eats. Yeah. If he probably eat the wrong thing, he probably blow up to, like, 260.
Right.
Off. Like this, so.
But I remember reading it and being like, wow, like, that, he's very
detailed,
and you can tell, like, that is such a huge part of why, I mean, I don't even know how long Derrick Henry's been in the league, but it's been a while, but he's still playing at a really high level. So clearly his off-the-field routine gets him in a position to be playing as well as ever, even though, you know, the years are stacking up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to learn more about Jamar Chase's off the field diet regimen. Like, what does he do to get himself into the shape that he's out there able to do what he is? And he said, you know, I'm one of those people that I can just basically eat whatever I want, but he spends a lot of time on, like, his body work and what he does in the training room and the maintenance stuff. But it brought up a conversation about food, and someone asked, like, what his favorite cheat meal was, and he was talking about all of this Louisiana food and how it's just amazing. So even though
– I'll put it to you like this. See, they food – like, we'll leave for where we're from to go down there. See,
we're
at the top.
Is there a difference in the Louisiana food?
All right, so where Jamar from is more spicier. It's more spicier food.
Okay.
See, where I'm from, like, we do spice, but it's not like New Orleans spice because that's where it originated from, down south.
Yeah.
And then it moves up. But so they are the core, like, Cajun people. Like, you gonna you taste their food, like, you're gonna taste, like, heavy seasoning.
Okay.
We still use seasoning where I'm from, but it's just not like them because that's their culture.
Got it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Louisiana comfort food?
A good can't never go wrong with a good boil.
I've seen those, and I've always wanted to go to one.
Shrimp, crab, crawfish. Some people throw the eggs in there. Neck bones. It don't even matter. Like, it just depends on where you at in Louisiana.
So I'm a really picky eater, and none of that sounds like something I would be. When you're talking about, did you just say something about a neck?
Neck bones?
Yeah, what's a neck bone?
You never seen a neck bone?
No.
You seen one? He know what I'm talking about.
I am a very plain, basic eater, so if something doesn't look good to me, it's not happening. So I would just, granted, if I grew up there and it was put in front of me every day, I'd have to learn to eat it, but I'm from Maryland and,
y'all don't know.
More of a just a plain
chicken,
eater, yeah.
Fish.
Yes.
Salmon, shrimp.
Yes. No, nothing with a neck bone in it.
No steak?
No, I like steak.
You like steak?
Yeah.
Me too. I love steak.
But the whole Louisiana food, comfort, it just seems like whenever I meet someone who's from Louisiana, like, that's something they always bring up, which is cool because it's that brings people together.
Yeah.
You know.
Because some people tour Louisiana just for the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that went to Louisiana when the Bengals played the Saints a couple years ago, and we were at a menu, and I think I ordered, like, the fettuccine Alfredo without like all of the Cajun seasonings and all of the things. And I'm like, can you just give me the plainest pasta?
The plate came back red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would probably be like mortified by me if we were ever ordering at the same table.
spiced up. I don't know, but that's just how they do it down there. I don't know.
Okay. So let's now go to, you go to college right down the road. I mean, how far away did you live from U of L?
7 minutes.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Did you like being that close to home or no?
I never questioned what God got for me. And he had one offer and one chance, one opportunity. So that's what I took. And I mean, it really was a blessing in disguise that I was at home because we didn't have NIL back then, yeah. None of that. So I'm like, I can't complain. Everything worked out how it's supposed to.
But yeah,
I enjoyed it because I'm still getting home cooked meals right. from my own dude. So I ain't got to eat at the calf every day if I don't want to. So.
Right. I wondered that because I went to school 8 hours from where I grew up. And I mean, there were times where I definitely wished, like, on Sundays, I'd just drive home and hang out with my parents
and eat.
Yeah. Yep. But I never got that luxury. But I also felt like me going off far away made me grow up faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like asking that question. So you really enjoyed your first couple of years at U of L. So walk me through the process of how you knew it was time for you to transfer and take your football career to the next level.
So I was going into my last year at ULM. I was finna get ready to graduate. So, and then the season really wasn't, then it wasn't satisfying either. So, and really just honestly the truth, I just felt like I deserved to play on a higher level. I mean, it's no other way else to put it.
Yeah.
So I graduated, I did it the right way, then leave before I try to graduate and lose credits and have to take a whole nother route. Like, nah, I just stayed put, graduated, then I left.
I believe I read that you got your degree in kinesiology?
Sports management, mm-hmm.
Why was that your choice for your major?
It was more related to, like, football. And I really should have did exercise science because football is really exercise. More than on the sports management part, but I could easily go back to school and get the exercise science part.
Okay, so how did you wind up choosing TCU?
Close to home, four hours, 4:15.
Oh, okay.
So it's just really the same drive in New Orleans, it's just west.
Okay.
So coaching staff, strength staff, right there, close to home, so everything checked off. Let's go.
And then you got there, and
impact.
What a run you guys had.
Immediate impact. Yeah, but we had guys.
Right.
It wasn't just Fig. It wasn't just Max Duggan. It wasn't just Q Johnson. It wasn't just D Winters. Like, it took all of us, the coaching staff, from top to bottom to get what we got. And we still didn't finish how we want. So just imagine what else we had to put in the tank to actually.
I'd imagine that loss leaves a very sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah, for sure.
But was the experience?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not
people play college football or hope to play college football their whole life, and there's only a select few of you guys that ever get to play in a national championship.
There's only two teams that play, so that's the thing you got to be grateful about. But result, no. But, nobody just want to be at the party.
Yeah.
We want to win. So.
What was the feeling like when you guys beat Michigan?
For me, surreal, I had to take a step back because knowing my story before, like, high school didn't see what the third round of the playoffs ever. This coming from a lot of like adversity. Mm-hmm. So whenever we beat Michigan, it was just like, man, like, all that was for this. Yeah. So sure.
So then you finish your time playing college football. Mm-hmm. Did you get drafted where you thought you were going to get drafted?
No.
I'm talking rounds-wise.
Yeah, not
necessarily location.
I mean, you really, to a point, I didn't care, but it's like, to a certain point, you do care. Because it's just like, that's just like pride thing. But I got drafted in the right spot, the right time, to the right team, right organization. So, like, I'm in here now. Like, I can't, ain't no more rerunning and run the draft back. Like, no. Nah.
What was the process like for you? The combine, the whole pre-draft process?
Oh,
did you enjoy it?
See, me, we finished early. Mm-hmm. So I had a little time mm-hmm. versus the everybody else that played in bowl games and stuff like that in December. So I had a little downtime. So my pre-draft process was, it wasn't as, like, strainy mm-hmm. as other people because mm-hmm. they had to go bowl game, training, combine, da-da-da-da-da. But I didn't have to do all that. See, we finished in, like, after Thanksgiving. We went, like, 5-7. So
wow.
We didn't go to no bowl game, so my season. You
know, I always think that's so weird about college football. It's, like, December. There's nothing to look forward to. All the games are over.
It's just like championship games and bowl games. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
But it's going to be different now because they got the 12-team playoffs. Yeah. So it's going to feel like an NFL season out there for them boys.
I always felt like that was so challenging for college football coaches to try and get the team that, like, when you guys were obviously one of the top four teams going to play in the playoff. It's a long time to keep your guys
locked in,
motivated, yeah. interested mm-hmm. from whenever your last game is in late November, yeah. right?
Or some early December. Some people used to being done.
New Year's. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's going to be more games, but since we're talking about it, just fascinated. Do you like the new college football playoff format with more teams?
I want to see how it play out as far as how they do, who they match up. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's just going to be more, you know, people that think they solidified and just going to keep them on their toes a little bit more, honestly.
Well, it's funny because I, for so long, was like, this is so outdated. They need to be able to have more than four teams.
Yeah,
like, one loss shouldn't wreck your whole season.
Yeah.
And then when Alabama lost to Vanderbilt,
boom,
I said to myself, they shouldn't belong in the playoff. Like, well, I wanted it changed. Yeah. And then I catch myself being like, well, they shouldn't get a chance. Like, I don't know. So I'm fascinated to see how it plays out, for sure. But I think it'll just make it more interesting,
more
competitive. Compelling games. Yeah,
more competitive because the team, like, because now it's like a whole different season. Regular season over with, right. Like, okay, we in the top 12, so we lock in. I don't know how many games they have to play, but, like, you really like it. If you didn't like your regular season, like, fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when to go home.
Did you enjoy your time at TCU?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Horned Frog for life?
For life.
So I went to Cincinnati, and now that Cincinnati's in the Big 12, TCU is...
They play here.
Yeah, yeah. And they play in basketball, too, and those have been some pretty good games. So,
for real?
Yeah.
When basketball season start?
Soon, like November 5th. Yeah. But they won't play each other in Big 12 until, like, January.
Next year.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what life has been like for you in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, it seemed like training camp went really well for you. Did you feel like it did?
I mean, it's just like, I feel like I did, yeah. I feel like it went well, but still, though, like, I feel like I left money out there, too. But can't go back and rewrite it now.
Are you finding yourself more comfortable playing inside or outside or wherever?
Wherever, because I've been getting all types of looks. Mm-hmm. So they throwing me all types of looks, Coach Lou, Coach Chuck, all different places. So it really don't even matter. I'm not even a corner no more. I'm a defensive back at this point. So be ready for anything. And it's at the end of the day, like, that's what like good teams and good organization want out their DBs. They can play multiple spots. So I'm enjoying that, really.
Who in the DB room has really helped you through these first couple of months learn how to be a pro and gotten you to where you feel like you're at right now?
I take bits and pieces from everybody, from Vaughn, from Gino, from Mike, from Cam, anybody, like DJ Ivy, DJ Turner, whatever. You know, it's game. It don't even matter who it is. It's not about the messenger, it's the message. Yeah. So, you know, whatever game they give me, I try to copy and paste
it. Has it been easier or harder, your journey to the NFL in terms of you got here, mm-hmm. and is it been what you expected, or the transition to getting on the field?
Oh yeah, it's way tougher for mm-hmm. sure. It ain't easy. Nothing like college, nothing like that. But
is it the speed of the receivers? Like, what's been the most challenging part for you?
Really, just depending on what spot I'm at, mm-hmm. just whenever they come out. Just seeing it, like, see, my coach want me to be like, you know, he want me to be like Mike Hilton right now.
Right.
Or as far as communication operating. But at the same time, I'm trying to be like that. So it's like he pushing me, but I'm also pushing myself. So I'm back there shadowing Mike Hilton, trying to try to get his feel for the game, mm-hmm. his nuggets, his knowledge. And just try to apply it, really.
I think that we've normalized how good Mike Hilton is, but when you look back at his career portfolio of mm-hmm. whenever he's done playing, like, he went from being an undrafted free agent to becoming arguably the best nickel cornerback when he was in Pittsburgh, landed a second contract in Cincinnati, and has been one of the best players on defense here. That's so hard to do, and it's a true testament to
the work
he puts in and just the way he goes about his business.
Yeah.
Mike Hilton and I hosted a podcast together 2 off seasons ago, and it's still one of my favorite things we've ever done in my career. He just has a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely has a future career in the media whenever he's done.
For real?
Playing
you think
football.
So?
Oh, yeah.
See, I got to be around him a little more. Yeah. I got to catch him.
So you're doing a great job. You're on your way.
No, I'm talking about I got to pay attention so I can. So what you saying about him, so I could come back and confirm it one day. Be
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, he's ready.
Well, you're welcome to be my co-host at any point
cool.
for the pod.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out what we want to call it. I want to let you go soon, but just a couple more for you.
Go ahead.
Tell us the story about how your nickname became Fig.
Oh, really short and sweet. Really nothing too crazy. But my freshman year of ULM, I was still a receiver. And one of my old teammates, he was just like, bro, I'm gonna start calling you Fig Newton. He just went on it the whole day about it, Fig Newton. Then my receiver coach, Coach Carr at the time, he came in, Fig Newton, I kind of like that. And then it was just really like Fig from 2019 on through. So just ran with it. Like,
I had a silly moment during the preseason. I think it was the Chicago game. Mm-hmm. Duke Tobin, the Bengals director of personnel, was doing an interview while the game was going
mm-hmm.
on the TV broadcast, and they asked him about you. You had just made a play, and I was listening to it, and he said, Fig. And I'm in my head, I'm like, did he just call Josh Newton Fig? And I'm like, why would he call him Fig? And then I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, Fig Newton.
Took me a minute. I'm like, okay, that's actually kind of a fire nickname. Like,
yeah.
Short, punchy.
Quick.
Yeah,
and catchy.
Just like, rolls off the top.
Yeah, you know who it is, and you know who you're talking to, too.
Yeah.
So, because you don't really hear it.
Well.
It's not normal.
I told you I did some heavy research on you. Didn't find much on the internet, but
mm-hmm.
I did talk to some of your teammates.
Old teammates?
No, current teammates.
Okay.
And asked them what I should ask you. And a little birdie told me to ask you about Jigga Josh and some sort of dancing.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the floor to you right now.
Oh, that's back in the day. Really throughout my whole, like, I say since my, like, sophomore year through basically to up until I left really, like, ULM for real. Like, that was my first nickname, like, high school. It was basketball season. Like, we support the basketball team, like, we would pack out the student section. Like, halftime, like, I go dance there, play the little jig music, I jig, turn the game up, and wait for them boys to come out there and finish the game. So that just really grew over time. So we'll go to parties, stuff like that. I dance at the party. Like, everybody that really know me where I'm from, that actually know me, they know Jigga. Like, Jigga was, like, way before Fig. Yeah, so.
You, I mean, you just have some great nicknames. Yeah. I'm jealous. I have no good nicknames.
I don't know. They gave them to me. That's the thing.
Well,
they gave
so
them to
you
me.
Can dance, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Any specific things that you're really good at dance-wise? I mean, any specific music you really like to dance to?
I mean, really, it's like Louisiana music. People know Louisiana music. They know what it is. So, like, Lil Boosie and stuff like that.
Well, this means that we're in store for some pretty amazing
celebrations
from you.
When I get my time. Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Exactly. Well, I can't wait for that. Yeah, I feel like you're going to – do you feel like you can maybe, like, rival Jamar Chase with his gritty or you're up there with that?
No, the gritty, that's like a Louisiana staple too. So, I mean, you can't put Louisiana against Louisiana.
I kind of think that would be fun for everybody to see, like, a gritty off between the two guys from Louisiana.
Man, he can have it.
Okay.
That's his thing.
Okay, well, we'll let you get
your
thing.
Yeah, I got to make my own.
Great.
He already stamped the gritty. And then sometimes, like, you expect the gritty, he don't even do it. He run to the sideline. Was it Carolina? He made the crazy play?
Yeah.
He took the ball straight to Pops. I'm thinking, I'm finna get a look. I don't know if he did gritty, but I don't think he did, though.
You haven't gone up against – you didn't go up against him in camp.
Nah.
But you go up against him in practice.
They don't
– No?
It don't count. It's not –
I was going to say, have you had a welcome to the NFL moment against Jamar Chase?
Nah, it's not even – like, when we go against them, it's not even really like – like, they don't really want us to, like, guard them, run with them, but it's not like a camp rep, like, where it's like –
Got it.
Yeah, play them. Like, nah. I haven't got that time with him because, you know, he been doing – going through his stuff, his situation. So, I mean, it is what it is. As long as he a member of the Bengals and I'm a member of the Bengals, we gonna get our work in. But he – we chopped it up a little bit, like, as far as, like, you know, he like what he see, but at the same time, he still want to go against it for himself, and I want to go against him for myself, too. So, it's going to be fun whenever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that next
too,
year in camp.
Sure. T2.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, we know you have a lot to do to get ready for this game in Cleveland this weekend, so I just want to say thank you so much for giving
me
of your time and stopping by the podcast.
Thanks, podcast. Who they?